Well, everybody, good morning. You know what that music means. Time now for our weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Joining us in the studio today, Berkshire Ben is back. How are you, Ben?
Doing well, and yourself?
Good, good, good. Big news today. What's going on with you today? You're getting a new license today or something?
Hopefully, yep.
Hopefully?
So I submitted all my paperwork finally to get my North Dakota broker's license.
Okay, that's got to be pretty big news. Exciting. Do you have to take a test for that or anything?
You do. You have to take many tests, yep. So you start off with a course that you have to take. Usually you start the process of becoming a broker once you've been in real estate for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is usually the requirement, and then you kind of go through the education part, and then you go over to the testing part, which is the state national exam that you have to take. And then once you pass that, then you're good to go.
So you already passed the test. You know that.
Yep, I did. I did. I know I passed it. I got the results.
Okay. Well, congratulations. That's good. You know, you are a realty expert. Everybody at Berkshire Hathaway is, and sometimes that's the difference between you and other realtors. But you know what? What are the new trends in the real estate business? I mean, you know, what's the skinny nowadays?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we're seeing right now in the real estate world is a really low amount of inventory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from where we were last year nationally, we are down 41%. So right now we have about 569,000 homes listed across the United States, which is the lowest it's been in a long, long time.
And why is that?
Well, it's a couple reasons. Number one, people just aren't selling.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, the interest rates are so great for new buyers.
Oh, I mean, sure.
The interest rates are really incentivizing people to move forward on properties, to move up in properties.
Okay.
So let's say that they're in a $200,000 home, to move up to a $350,000 home, things like that. That's all happening still during this pandemic, which is kind of amazing.
Do you think now with the low interest rates that maybe more people are buying and not selling and maybe using their houses for rentals and everything just because the rates are so low?
Yep. So what's actually have been happening too is an explosion of the co-primary homes. So like your lake homes, your cabins, your homes out of state, things like that have really, really taken off because people have realized that working at home within the same four walls is just not working for them.
Right.
They want to go out. They want to be at the lake. They want to be doing things that aren't just inside the four walls of their home.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, you had the big debate last night. I know you watched it.
Yep.
Do you think the election is going to change the world of real estate? I mean, I guess it depends on who wins, or will that make no difference?
Well, you definitely see a contrast between the two in terms of policy. You know, that's one aspect of it. I won't really go into that, but I definitely feel like people in general don't necessarily want to invest when there's uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of seeing right now, I think probably for the next month, there's going to be a little bit shaky until the results of the election are actually done. And we won't know until maybe the third, maybe we'll know a week after the election, maybe we'll know 2 weeks after the election. It just is, it's all going to be up in the air for the time being.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell us, but who do you think fared better last night?
I think...
not the American people.
Yeah, that was brutal. I mean, that was exactly what I thought it was going to be. I watched some analysis afterwards, and it was really funny to watch the anchors just go, wow.
Just shake their head and go, what the?
Wow. And even Chris Wallace at the end. I'm glad we're done with that.
Yeah, and you know, after watching Chris Wallace, I actually used to kind of like the guy, but last night he did not impress me either.
Yeah, I think it was just a bunch of shouting all around. I think it would have been different if there would have been a crowd. I mean, there was a lot of interrupting going on, too. But I think just in terms of the real estate world, I think people look at that and kind of gauge whether or not their personal situation is going to improve or not improve within the next couple of years. And that's how they're going to vote. But then they're also going to be making big life choices based on that, too.
Sure.
You know, if they feel more economic security one way or another, they might invest more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that does make a difference.
Oh, heck yeah. Okay, the year is winding down. Is this a busy time for you people at Berkshire Hathaway?
It's been kind of amazing right now. We've really seen kind of a slow curve off rather than more of a steep dive of listings that have come on the market or that are still on the market. So things are still going pretty well right now. I think eventually what we're going to see is towards the end of the year, our inventory is going to keep getting lower. And then finally, maybe mid-January, end of January, we're going to see a lot more of those homes come on market. So we're going to have a lot more inventory. And if rates stay the same, I think it's going to be really competitive. I think if all stays the same now, until January, which, again, we have a election coming up. Yep, we have a lot of uncertainty.
A lot of uncertainty.
But if it stays the same, I think it's going to be a very competitive spring next year.
Okay, so I was going to ask you next, what can we look for in 2021?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of great, great properties out there. Right now, what we're kind of seeing is not a lot of foreclosures coming on because of mortgage forbearance programs.
Yep.
What we're seeing is that there are about 2 million people in mortgage forbearance now across the United States. And what we're really looking at is how many of those people are actually coming out of that forbearance, meaning are those homes being vacated or not?
Okay.
And if they're not being vacated, that also keeps the crunch a little bit tighter because people aren't able to go out and buy a foreclosure.
Right.
Right. And foreclosures usually come at a discount. And same with, you know, some other places, unless you, of course, competitive offers. But usually when it's in a foreclosure status, that's just not happening right now.
Right, right. And, you know, I guess that's a good thing and a bad thing. But what a goofy year.
Yeah, it's really goofy. I mean, to see this kind of crunch, I definitely feel like we're going to be seeing a little bit more of an inventory problems coming up. I mean, I've been working with buyers now who homes are on the market and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does. It really is still picking up that type of way right now.
I got a question on that. So do you think that that's just a result of people not putting their houses on the market, or is it because you're seeing a lot more people that are like moving from cities and, you know, getting out of the bigger pop dense
getting populations. Out of the mayhem of the cities?
I think that it's a little bit of both. I think number one, people just aren't listing their homes. I mean, if you don't feel totally comfortable to move up to the next price range, why move?
Right, right.
That's kind of what people are thinking. We'll just refinance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's kind of half of it. Lots of people are refinancing instead of selling, which makes the difference. But I definitely think that there's going to be an explosion of people who are going to be leaving urban areas, at least moving out into the immediate suburb areas.
Sure.
Because they're not going to want to deal with some of the things that are happening in our bigger cities. We're so lucky here in North Dakota that we really don't have that.
Well, so the reason I ask that is because, I mean, eventually I'm going to need a larger home, which I don't think I can afford. But, you know, if you were to, say, look for one now, would you be better looking for one now before you maybe see that huge increase of people moving?
Well, that's one good point for sure, is definitely looking at it now because you're worried about, you know, not having the home that you want at the price that you want when you're ready. And the other thing you can take advantage of now is a low interest rate. You know, if you can really swing it with your lender to get the most out of your home now, sell it at a really good price now, and then get a really good rate, you could be able to afford that home that, you know, as long as it's, of course, comfortable for you and whatever your lender decides. But that is one of the big things that we look at.
Okay.
Now, I know there's no way for you to gauge this or to figure it out. Maybe there is. But interest rates now so low, but a lot of people not working. Do you think if this whole COVID thing was done, over with, forgotten, do you think the interest rates would rise a little bit?
I mean, it's hard to predict. It's going to depend on who's president. It's going to depend on this next month. I mean, really, if you have somebody in place who is okay with raising the interest rate, you know, keeping those rates higher, that's going to impact people's ability to buy homes and afford their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Because every percent you go up in interest, it does make a difference for your payment.
Sure, sure.
And I think that that's what's really going to matter here, is seeing who is going to be setting the fiscal policy for the United States. Obviously, right now, we've had somebody in charge who's drastically lowered the interest rates from the Fed, and that has came our way too, and banks have been able to take advantage of that.
You know, you guys from Berkshire Hathaway, you amaze me, because you don't just know about real estate. There's so many other things that you guys have really got to be sharp on and on top of your game with.
Well, that's one way that we help our clients is having the information, right? And we're not an expert in, you know, tax law or legal things, or, I mean, we're an expert in real estate. And so all those factors contribute to how the market's going to be and how it is now. You know, and what it really comes down to more on a personal level, and we can talk about a big, you know, overall economic level, but I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you go to sell your home, there's a few things that really matter. It's your price, it's your condition. You know, for yourself, it's a little bit different than what matters to the market. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And do you think that most people, when they are selling their home, I mean, I guess a lot of it depends on what you've put into it, how long you've owned it. But do you think people out there, when they sell, they're expecting to make a huge profit?
I think some people are it really depends. Some people aren't really reasonable about what is a fair price.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's with everything. You know, we all have seen Grand Forks buy and sell.
Yeah.
We see the junk people put on there,
mm-hmm.
and it's not always worth what it's worth.
Right.
And that's one thing that's challenging, is just to try to tell people that you know, this is what it's worth and this is what you can expect. And the way I like to do that is by really looking at the inventory and the price range.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at, like, okay, if your house is priced at 150, how many houses are in between 125 and 175?
Okay.
And look at that for your competition.
Sure.
Because that's what's important, is what your competition is, what your price is based on the competition, what your condition is based on the competition. And so that's really what we look for.
Is that what you call a comp?
That would be called a comp. So there are active comps and sold comps. That's what we kind of like to look at. I like to look at both because I want to make sure that I'm, you know, sold comps are anything a year and back.
Okay.
Pretty much what I look like.
Okay.
And so if you're selling your home, I'm going to be looking at all the homes that have the same square footage, that have the same bedrooms and bathrooms, that have the same features that sold within the last year. And then I will take the three best of those and compare those and then get your price from that. And then I double check that price by comparing it to the actual active listings on the market and seeing, okay, this is the price that I came up with your house from. Now, does that match with what I'm seeing in the market?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if your house is, again, 150, I came up from the valuation that I found out from the sold comps and applied to the new comps and say, okay, well, actually, there's a way nicer house selling for 140.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Sure.
Right? Then we really need to look at, okay, well, where do we need to fall in line with those actives to make sure that you are the first one to get an offer and not the other guy?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really important, too, is the timing of offers.
Right. Well, when it comes to something like that, somebody's got to bend. Somebody's got to give. Who's usually the person that has to flex a little bit on that?
Well, it just depends on who the person is, honestly. Mm-hmm. Every seller is different. So I'm one of those people who I will pretty much take a listing no matter what, unless it's like ridiculously overpriced.
Yep.
Because I definitely do want to help my clients. I definitely think it's important to take the listings and try to educate them throughout the process, right? And then you get some people who say, yep, what's the price? Let's sell it, and it's gone.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it does happen that way. So really what really matters, though, is the timing of the offers, where your home lies in the inventory. That's how I can kind of gauge a little bit more.
Now, if you're going to, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and say, I want to sell my house, and they tell you what they want for it, and you might not disagree, but you're maybe not 100% on board with them, what does it usually take for them to figure it out? Maybe the house on the market for longer than they expected, or how would that change if they need to maybe drop the price raise it?
It's setting up good expectations. It's just saying, you know, my price is this, your price is this. And if we're a little bit different on price, let's wait a month, let's wait a little while at your price, and then let's reduce. Let's reduce to my price, and we'll see what happens and see the difference. Because I'm always willing, of course, it's always up to the seller in real estate, by the way, to set the price.
Sure.
It's okay. Not up to the agent.
Okay.
So if you tell me that you want to list at a certain price, that is what I list it at.
Okay.
That is just how it is.
Okay, but you can make recommendations.
Absolutely.
Or...
And I mean, and if you don't want to follow those, that's totally fine. I'm just here to, you mm-hmm. know, try to show you that these are your options.
Yeah.
If you don't take them, that's up to you. And I've had some times where, you know, a seller has approached me and said, well, let's price it even lower.
Okay.
That surprised me.
Wow.
You know, or I have sellers who price it higher and then it gets a better list price higher, and that's good.
Okay.
You know, we're not always 100% on the money, but what happens is that, you know, I'd like to see what people's goals are.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to sell in a month, if you want to sell in 2 months, we can do that. We can get a price for you that'll sell.
Okay.
If you want to sell, you know, if you're not really in a hurry, you're fine with your payments, you're okay waiting, let's put a little higher and wait, and then just price reduce when you're ready.
Okay, now on that same note, have you ever had somebody say, you know what, I want to sell my house, Ben, I want $145,000 for it, or $150,000, and you say to yourself, well, this is a $200,000 house. Has that ever happened, and what do you do in that case?
If I'm representing the sellers, I tell them to list it at what it's worth.
Okay.
You know, if they say, oh, I only want this much for it, I always persuade them to do more because it's to their benefit.
Sure.
You know, obviously, of course, if I'm representing the seller, I want them to have the best deal possible. You know, I want them to net the most when they walk away. I want the biggest check for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a buyer is kind of the opposite. I want them to pay the least.
Okay.
You know, so it really depends on who you're representing, but...
I just wanted to let you know some of the people watching. Bailey, I work with Ben. He's an amazing friend. I can ask for he's good looking as a friend, I can imagine. Wow, how about that? Hi, Ben. I want to ask you something. Please, this is important. Give me a shout out. That's Bailey. So you better get a hold of Bailey when we're done with the show. Hi, here, Ben.
I'll give her a shout out.
Yeah, Bailey, man, we love her here at GFBS.
She's awesome.
Yeah, she is. Any more real estate trends that we need to talk about here before we cut you loose, Ben?
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, keep updating your homes. That's always one thing that always helps when I walk into a home and it has some new flooring, some new paint. You know, those are really low cost, easy things to do nowadays with the luxury laminate vinyl. I think you guys actually have that here in the studio. You
know, oh, yeah.
That
I don't know if it's
stuff.
Luxury or not.
I always look I always look at that type of stuff. That does make a difference, mm-hmm. and that can be low cost ways to improve your home. You know, replacing carpets, things like that. If it needs an update, it needs an update.
Uh-huh.
And that always helps. And if you do it little by little, it's a lot easier than putting it off. Oh, I got to sell. Oh, no, I either got to take the loss on the fact that I didn't fix up my house,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to be in a good position because I did along the way.
Right.
And so if you have time, do it. It's important.
Yep.
Do you ever have somebody that, you know, they don't even really care if they sell their house or move, so they just put it on the market for like a way bigger price tag than it's worth just to see if somebody bites?
Yeah, it happens.
Okay.
Just how it is. I mean, it just is, you work with that seller just the same as you'd work with any other seller. And that's honestly, you know, it sounds weird when I say that maybe because you think, well, why would you give them the time of day? Why would you care? I think the biggest thing is you owe fiduciary duties to a seller. Like as a real estate agent, I'm bound by law and by ethical code that I need to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that I need to treat my sellers the same and my buyers the same. I need to give them good professional advice. And ultimately, you need to follow their lawful instructions. I mean, if they request you to do something, you should do it. And you know, those are all really important things about the real estate game that people don't realize, is that it is a very ethical, straightforward thing if that's who you're dealing with. Now, if you're dealing with somebody who's not ethical, well, then that's where the line is blurred, right?
Right, right. Now, you being a realty expert, I'm sure you've got to drive around because I like looking at houses, but have you ever driven around and went, oh my gosh, what were they thinking when they painted that house that color? Or, oh boy, why did they put that color of a roof on that house? You ever see those houses and go, good luck if you ever want to sell that house, and what about your poor neighbors?
You know, I do think that sometimes personally, because I obviously have a personal taste, and mm-hmm. I look at some things and I go, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, to each their own, honestly. Yep. I've sold some houses to people and I couldn't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you like this house? Like, this is, okay, sounds good. Like, and it's like, people don't mind. Some people don't mind purple siding.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I've seen that around. Some people don't mind.
That's funny because years ago when we painted my hunting shack, we just had like 20 gallons of mixed different colors. We mixed them all together and painted it, and it turned out the color of calamine lotion. And there's actually been a few people out there that go, wow, what color is that? I don't know.
Yeah, Pepto-Bismol. Yeah.
And then that's what it looks like, too. Boy, tell you what, good luck with that broker license today.
Thanks.
We're going to keep a thumbs up for you. I'm sure it's going to be great. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, Ben, how do they do that?
The best way is just to call or text at 701-318-2676.
Okay.
Honestly, if you called or text me right now, it'd probably ring. So.
Okay. Okay. You didn't turn it off, did you?
No. I keep it on.
That's all right. Are we going to be seeing you again here soon, hopefully?
Yep. Hopefully. I'm on the schedule.
Okay.
So I should be back probably next month.
Oh, good. Good. We always love having you in the studio. Thanks. You very much.
Yep.
There you go. Our weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Love having Berkshire Ben in the studio. We're looking forward to having him in there again. You've got the phone number. You're looking to buy or sell or even have any questions in the trends going on now in the real estate business, give Berkshire Ben a call.